These are parallel passages, and if you've got Matthew chapter 15, there in verse 21, if you've got some way to mark that, hold it. And then over in Mark chapter 7, in verse 24, this is the incident that this lady who had a daughter possessed with the devil came to the Lord Jesus. Here in Mark chapter 7, let me read this account to you, beginning in verse 24. And from thence he arose and went unto the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, a Gentile. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not good, it's not fit, it's not meet, to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. O woman, great is thy faith. That's what he said to this woman. Great faith. We hear a lot of people talking today about faith. And some talk about how much they have. And some talk about how strong their faith is and what great things it's done for them. But you know it's not what people think. It's not what people think. It's not what people say or people's opinion about their own faith. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ says about it. It's His opinion about it. Woman, great is thy faith. Nothing was said that she knew anything about faith. If you asked her to explain something about faith, I doubt if this woman could. She never mentioned her faith. She was occupied with something else. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that commented on her faith and called it great. A person may brag about their faith. A person may tell what great things it is and has done. But you know something? It may be worthless. It may be worthless. It may be a faith to move mountains, but it may be worthless. It's not what we think. It's what the Lord Jesus knows about faith. Great is thy faith. This woman may have known nothing about it. She was a Gentile woman. She was probably an uneducated woman. But she had great faith. Woman, great is thy faith. She wasn't a Jew. She didn't have all the privileges, the blessings that the Jews had. We don't even know if she had any copies of the Scriptures. She was at a great disadvantage. And yet it was said of this woman, Great is thy faith. And it was said of him that knows. Maybe not in her sight. Not in her estimation. Maybe in her estimation she had just enough faith to get by. But the Lord Jesus said, Woman, great is thy faith. Now, what is great faith? I think we can look at this woman and answer that question this evening. What is great faith? If there's such a thing, I want it. I want it. But let's look at some things about this woman's faith. And one thing that's said about her in Mark chapter 7, there in verse 25, this is the first thing about her faith. And a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came. She heard of him. Now, one of the things that made her faith great, it was scriptural faith. She heard of him and came. Did you notice that? She had never seen him before, for all we know. She had never seen him do any miracles before. But she simply heard of him and she acted upon what she had heard. She heard of him and she came. Now, brothers and sisters, that is scriptural faith. God has moved upon those holy apostles. He's moved upon those prophets of old, as Brother Larry told us this morning. And he's revealed to those apostles and prophets everything that's essential to know. Everything that's necessary to be known and believed for a man to be saved and to be eternally happy. And when we hear this testimony and believe it, we're saved. We're saved at last and we'll be eternally happy, even though we're filled with troubles in this life. A faith that believes what it hears in this Bible, that's scriptural faith. No feelings, no signs, no visions. She heard. Isn't that scriptural faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look over here right quickly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look in verse 7. Here's what the Apostle Paul said about this. 2 Thessalonians, look in chapter 1 and verse 7. Here was a group of people who were troubled. In verse 7, 2 Thessalonians 1, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all of them that believe. Now look at this. Because our testimony among you was believed in that day. What is saving faith? It's a faith that hears the testimony of God and believes it. This woman heard and she acted upon what she heard. She heard and she came. That's faith, isn't it? That's faith. I tell you, I'd rather have a faith that began that way than anything else. Because that's scriptural faith. That is scriptural faith. But something else was said about this woman along this same line. Not only was it said that she heard, but she heard of him. She heard of him and she came to him. You know, a person will wind up coming to the one they believe in. Whatever a person believes in, that's what they'll wind up coming to. She heard of him and she came to him. Now, she may have heard a lot of other things. There's a lot of things a person can hear in the Word of God, but it's not great faith. We're talking about saving faith, aren't we? She may have heard of how God had created the world. She may have heard that. That's in God's Word. She may have heard that Moses gave the law, the moral law, the Ten Commandments. She may knew that. She may knew her responsibility to God and man. But that wasn't what she heard. She heard of him and she came to him. This is where faith begins. This is what makes faith great, when you hear of him. You can't be saved if you don't hear of him. You must hear of him. But faith can only be great when it hears of his greatness. This woman's faith was called great because it was exercised upon a great Savior. You say, Bruce, how do you know that? Brother Bill read it to us. Look here in Matthew. Look at her opinion of him. Look who her faith was in. Look who she had heard of. Look in Matthew chapter 15. And look in verse 22. Look at this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. She was crying after him, saying, have mercy upon me. Look at this. O Lord. Lord. Sovereign. The Lord of glory. Is that what she heard? It must have been. How else was she anointed? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here she's calling upon Him. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? Somebody told this woman, that's the Lord of glory. And I tell you, she knew it. She knew it because she said, you've got power. You have the authority over the powers of darkness. You cast out devils. You do great miracles. That's why she came to Him. He is the Lord, the Sovereign, the Mighty One. But notice something else in that verse at the same time. And I'm telling you, this woman's faith was in one, this mysterious person that the Pharisees and scribes never could figure out. She calls Him the Lord of glory, and the same breath she says, thou Son of David. Who is that? That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. Oh, the poor little baby just bumped her head. That's the Messiah. So here we've got these two people. We've got this man, the descendants of David, standing before this woman in our humanity, in her humanity, and she says, you're the Lord. You're the seed of David, but you're the Lord of glory. You know the Pharisees didn't understand that. They said, if He's David's Lord, how can He be David's son? And they didn't understand it. Here was a woman who said, this is the Lord of glory. And He's the Son of David. He's God in the flesh. That's who He is. But down here in verse 22, He answered her not a word. And then in verse 24, He answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, look at this, and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. She not only addresses Him as Lord with all authority over these devils, but now she worships Him. Who do you worship? You worship God, don't you? You worship God. What is she saying? You're God. You're God. See what I'm saying? Your faith, if it's great faith, it must be in a great person. If your faith's in a small person, you ain't going to have great faith. Great faith is exercised upon a great sovereign, a great Lord. She come and worshipped Him and said, Lord, help me. And look in verse 27. She does it again. And she said, Lord, truth, Lord, truth. He called her basically a dog. And she turns around and said, Lord, I'll submit to that. I'll submit to that. You're the Lord of truth. You know me better than I know myself. Truth, Lord. Every sentence she made, every time she addressed Him, she said, Lord, Lord. Lord, do you desire a great faith? I do. And if we desire a great faith, it's going to have to be in a great person. She heard of Him. But I tell you what she heard of Him was something wonderful. This is the Christ. He's the Lord of glory. He's the Son of God in our humanity. And He's not only great, in His glorious person. But you know what? He's done great things. He's done great things. Great faith must be in a great Lord who has done great things. And she had heard about this. Let me show you that passage of Scripture. Look over here in Mark chapter 3. She heard of Him. I don't know who she was talking to, but boy, somebody told her some truths about Him. In the 3rd chapter of Mark, look over in verse 7 and verse 8. Mark chapter 3, verse 7. But Jesus withdrew Himself with His disciples to the sea, and great multitudes from Galilee followed Him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from, look at this, beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon. That's where she lived. That's where He was at. Come there to their coast. Well, here's some more people from that place. Just before this, they came there and they were hearing Him, a great multitude. And look at this, when they heard what great things He did, came to Him. She heard, either from these people, or she was there herself hearing from it, that this Savior, this Son of David, this Lord, had done great things. Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done. And great are rejoicing through Jesus, His Son. If our faith is exercised upon a Christ who has done great things, then faith says He's able to do great things still. For me. That's why she came to Him. He's done great things. He's the Lord. And He can do great things. What kind of estimation do you have of the Son of God? What's your opinion of Him? What's your estimation of His glorious person and His work? What do you think about it? Just as much as He's exalted in your esteem, that's how great your faith's going to be. If you've got a little small Jesus, you'll have a small faith. I would go further than that, but I don't want to offend anybody. If you've got a little Jesus who has done little things, worth making nothing mention about it, you may have a little or no faith at all. You know why you and I believe? You know why we don't believe in a general redemption? You know why we don't believe that Jesus Christ obtained redemption for everybody without exception? And I say this with all reverence. It's useless. If the Lord Jesus Christ bore a person's sins and suffered for them, and that person winds up suffering for his own sin, if Jesus Christ bled and groaned and cried and died to make payment for a person's sins, and then God charges him with those sins again, is that not useless? What did He do upon the cross? Did He do some great thing? Or was it useless? Was it little? Was it small? Somebody said, well, Bruce, they'll perish in hell because they refuse Christ and they refuse the gospel. Well, I know that. But you would think, if this man, this Lord, this Son of God, offered Himself a sacrifice, and that was that great a thing for Him to do, that sacrifice would have secured their obedience. Wouldn't you? If He died for their sins, it looked like then He'd save them from their sins in their experience. And the Scripture says He did. God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. And listen to this very next verse. Listen to this very next verse. By his knowledge, knowing him, he shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. He has done some great things upon that cross. What did he do? He bore iniquity. He was punished. He put sin away. He satisfied justice. And that secured the justification of all of those whose sins he bore. Ain't that a great Savior to do that? Isn't that a great thing? They had heard of him, that he had done these great things. This woman had heard of that. And I tell you, she exercised faith upon him in this great Christ who had done great things. And the Lord Jesus said, "Woman, great is thy faith." I lack a bragging Christ, don't you? I like one can brag and then turn around and do what he brags about. The Lord said, "I'm going to send you a Savior, a great one, and he's going to deliver you." I like it when he says that, don't you? When he says 1,000 years before he comes, what he's going to do. And then he comes and he does it. I like that. When he comes from the dead and he takes the keys of hell and death and rattles it and says, "Look what I got. Look what I've done. I told you what I was going to do, and now I did it." When he spoils principalities and powers, when he defeats them and he puts his foot on them, and then he makes a show of them openly and says, "Look what I've done. Look what I've done." I like a bragging Savior. Especially when he does what he brags about. He's a great one. The angel said he shall be great. We want a great faith, and it must be in a great Savior. Not in a little Jesus, not in a failing Jesus, but one who has done great things. He said, "Thomas, reach hither your finger, and behold my hands, and thrust your hand into my side." And Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And you know what the next verse says? "Thomas, because you have seen me." You've seen me. Who did Thomas call him? Lord and God. "Because you've seen me." Who is he? He's Lord and God. With nail prints in his hands. Can he fail? Is he not mighty? Whatever he puts his hand to, has he not done it? Has he ever failed? Did he not brag and said, "I'll never fail. I'll never be discouraged." And then he turns right around and says, "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." Faith comes by hearing. We've never seen him. We've never seen the Son of God. He's in heaven. He's out of our sight. But there he stands. There in heaven. God in our humanity. And he has those pierced hands and a hole in his side. And here's the question. Do you believe him? Do you believe him? This woman did. She did. She believed what she heard about him. And the Lord Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith. You've exercised it upon a great Savior. Great is thy faith." That's the first thing. She heard of him. She heard of his greatness. The great things that he had done. The second thing about great faith is this, and you'll find it over in Matthew's account of this. Here in verse 23, great faith is a faith that's severely tried. It can't be great if it's not tried. It'll be weak if it's not tried. When the Lord Jesus gives faith, He tries it. Not to crush it, not to destroy it, but to reveal its strength, to reveal its greatness for His glory. Now look at these things. Look at these severe trials for this woman's faith. And then you'll see why it was called great. She came to Him there in verse 22, beseeching Him to cast the devils out of her daughter. And here's the first trial in verse 23. But He answered her not a word. Boy, that's a trial to faith. If you can keep on seeking, Barb, when you don't hear a word from Him, when heaven is shut up and there's silence and there seems to be a thick cloud between you and Him and you don't hear a single thing from Him and you just hang on and hold on and continue to believe, it don't drive you away. That's great faith. She said, "Here, Lord, have mercy upon me." And there wasn't one word spoken to her. She laid out her need. "My daughter is grievously vexed." Not one word did He speak to her. She followed Him crying, "Lord, have mercy upon me." And He answered her not a word. Now that's a trial to faith. Listen to what these old prophets say. "When I cried and shout, He shut out my prayer. Baby said unto thee, O Lord, my rock will I cry. Be not silent to me, lest I be like them that go down to the pit." Listen to what he said in Psalm 6. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed. But Thou, O Lord, how long? Forever? Return unto me, O Lord, deliver my soul, and save me for Thy mercy's sake." Heaven is shut up and not a word. And what does faith do? Keeps on believing. David said this in Psalms 13. "How long will You forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long will You hide Your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? Consider, O Lord, and hear me." I tell you, you can take a faith that'll wait and continue to believe in a time like that when it can't get an answer from the Lord of glory. That's great faith. That's great. And boy, the Lord tries us, does He not? He tries us. Here's the second trial of faith this woman had, and it's found there in verse 23. "He answered her not a word," and look at this. "And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." Brother Mahan says she wasn't crying after them. She's crying after Him. The commentary said it could be that they wanted the Lord to go ahead and answer this woman and then send her away. But you know, I just don't hardly think that's right. Knowing these disciples who hated the Gentiles and wanted to call fire down out of heaven and burn the cities up, I just about bet what they asked Him to do, "Would you just run her off? She's bothering us." And boy, what a trial that was to her. If the close friends of Christ don't like you, if the close friends of Christ plead against you instead of for you, oh my, what a trial that is. If the church is weary with you, and the church won't sympathize with you when you're in trouble, boy, that's a trial for faith, ain't it? "Do thy friends despise and forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer." Her faith was severely tried. But great faith says this: when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. What matters if the church turns on me? What matters if my father and my mother won't even plead for me? Faith's not in my father and my mother. Faith is not in the church. Faith is not in good friends. Faith is in Him. Faith is in His goodness. And I tell you, if saints in heaven and angels in heaven cared nothing for this woman, she could say with David, "Who have I in heaven but thee?" That's where faith is. That's where faith is. Great faith trusts in Christ. It trusts in Christ for His help and His comfort when all other sources of help and comfort fail. And there's times when the Lord will try your faith if He's given you any. And all other sources of comfort will fail. The church will fail. Your pastor will fail. Circumstances will fail. The providence of God will seemingly fail. And you'll be shut up with nobody to give you help or comfort but Christ Himself. And when your faith goes to Him over everything else that's failed you, that shows great faith. Great faith. My health has failed me. My job has failed me. Everything's failed me. What are you going to do? Go on to Him. Go on to Him. He can't fail. And here's the third trial here in verse 24. Boy, this had to be a severe trial, I'm telling you. And he answered her finally. He finally answers her, but here's what he says. "Woman, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You know what he's saying to this woman? "I'm not even sent for you." He was a Jew and he was sent to the Jewish nation. But he gets more particular than that. He said, "Not only was I sent to the Jewish nation, but in particular, I'm sent to the lost sheep among the house of Israel." Israel's a big house, he said. "But I'm sent to the lost sheep in the house." You know who he was saying he was sent to? "I'm sent for the elect. I'm sent for my people, my sheep." Boy, what? Can you imagine? Can you imagine if you had some serious thoughts whether you was one of His elect or not? And there seemed to be some evidence that you may not be. Because he basically said, "Woman, I'm sent for my sheep." Well, that'd be a trial, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a trial on faith? "I ain't one of His elect. I'm lost forever. I'll die in my sins if I'm not one of His." She couldn't reason this out theologically. There'd be no sense to sit down and try to take the Scriptures and open all this up to this woman. She was too troubled anyway. What's the answer? What was her answer when the Lord said, "Woman, I'm just sent to my elect"? Well, here was her answer in verse 25. "And she came and worshipped Him and said, 'Lord, help me. I don't know if I'm one of His or not. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get down at His feet and say, Lord, help me.' I think probably I've sinned against the Holy Ghost. What should I do?" Well, do what she did. Get down at His feet and say, "Lord, help me. I think I've fallen away. I don't even think there's any more grace in my heart. What should I do?" Do what she did. I tell you, here's the answer for everything, ain't it? When the Word of God seems to stand against us, and when Satan twists the Word of God to discourage us and fills us with doubt and fear, and we don't even know if we're one of His or not, I tell you, here's the best thing to do. This is the answer to most of our problems. Just go and get down at His feet and say, "Lord, help me. Help me. If I'm not Yours by electing grace, I don't know, but I'm Yours by creation. And if You're not mine, then I don't have a Savior because I'm denying everybody else. Lord, help me. Boy, that was faith, wasn't it? No wonder he said, great is your faith. He couldn't drive her away even when he said that he was just sent to the elect. And she had no idea if she was one of them or not. Faith. Great is thy faith. Is your faith great enough you stood this trial? What would you have done if you had been this woman's shoes? When those disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's wearying us. We're tardy. What would you have done? When he said, I'm just sent for my elect, what would you have done? Here's the fourth trial. Look at this. In verse 26 and verse 27. He said, woman, it's just not right. It's not good. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord. Lord, that's truth. But the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. The Jews at this time and for all these years called the Gentiles dogs. We're the children of God and these Gentiles are dogs. We eat the master's bread and they're little dogs underneath the table. They get the crumbs. But it changed around in the New Testament. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, and he said, beware of dogs. And who was he talking about? Beware of the concision. Who's that? The Jews. He turns around and says, you're not dogs anymore, they are. They're the dogs now. The Lord turns everything upside down, don't he? But you know what this woman was saying here? The dogs eat of the crumbs that falls from the master's table. He said, woman, it's not right for me to take my blessings and give them to you. I'm going to give them to the children. You know what she was saying here? Lord, your blessings are so many. Your mercy is so high. Your heart's so full. Your merit is so great. You can bless me and not diminish yourself or your blessings at all. You can feed the children and you can feed me and not diminish your blessing. There's enough in you to feed the children and to feed the little dogs under the table too. That's what she said. That's what she said. And that's why he comes here and said, oh woman, great is your faith. She heard of him. She acted upon it. She believed what she heard. Her faith was severely tried. But boy, it stood the test. And finally, over in Mark, he asked her this. What will you? Maybe it's in Matthew. Yeah, to Matthew 15:28. O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. I tell you, faith has its reward. God will reward faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder. He rewards faith. And here's faith's reward. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What did she will? That this devil be cast out of her daughter. That's faith reward. She got what she wanted. What do you want? If the Lord Jesus spoke to you, he says, you believe me. I've tried your faith. And it's a real faith. I've given it to you. I've tested it. Now I'm asking you this question. What do you will? What do you want? What do you want, brothers and sisters? What do you want? You want to be saved? That's what I want. You want to know Christ? That's what I want. You want to know His love? I want to know it. You want to see yourself accepted in Him? You want to live in the assurance of that? You want to walk with Him? That's what I want. And when I leave this world and have to cross the river, I don't want to be swept away. I want to cross that river and raise and have the angels to help me to that celestial city. That's what I want. I want the gate to open to me and go inside. And I want to see Him. And I want to do physically what this woman did. I want to get down at His feet and worship Him as I long to hear and just not able to. Is that what we want? We want to have the company of saints and angels. That's what I want. I want to be free from this body of death, free from my sin, never to sin again, never to disbelieve again, never to misplease the Lord again. I want to be with Christ forever. What will you? What will you? Lord, this is what I want. Well, you know faith's reward. Go thy way. Be it unto you even as you will. Faith's reward. The Lord never gave you faith, dear brothers and sisters, to crush it or to disappoint it at last. He's given you faith. Exercise it upon Him. Believe Him. Take Him at His word. When He severely tests your faith, don't let it discourage you. It's not to crush you. It's simply to try you. And He gets great glory from it. And in the end, here's your reward. What do you want? What do you want? And you know, you can say right now, if you live by faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ, is your faith that real faith that comes from hearing? This real faith that lives upon Him, His greatness, His power, His love, His mercies? Then you can have assurance beforehand that what you will, you'll have. He said, woman, what will you? That my daughter be healed. He said, go your way. You've got what you want. But listen, she lived a ways off. And she turned and left the Lord and went to check on her daughter. I don't know where she was, but she was a ways off. But you know something? She was content with what the Lord Jesus told her. Woman, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. Faith takes the Lord at His word. What's going to happen when you come down to death? You know what's going to happen? Just what the Lord said would happen. You'll enter into rest and you'll be with Him forever. You just simply take Him at His word and go your way. It's done. It's done. Ain't that wonderful? Great faith. Exercise upon a great Savior, and there will be a great reward. A great reward. God bless His word. Let's pray.